You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome to the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. First up, we have Matt Nair on air with Greg. Greg welcomes climate outreach specialist Amanda Latham to the show to talk about her work with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office and a roadshow they started to outreach for the rural areas of the state.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can get in touch with us by calling or texting. It's the same number. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the site that we in this house still call Twitter. Lots still coming up. After the 10:30 news, we're going to be talking about the top 500 songs of all time as determined by Rolling Stone. And I just want to know, do you agree? Have you looked at them all? Have you memorized them all? I am going to be very interested to bring this up for possible arguments at the Christmas dinner table, because there's some new faces on there that I'm very excited about. But we'll be talking about that during Audio Sorbet at 10:35. And then after that, of course, this shouldn't be a thing today. It is the Penny for Your Thoughts edition. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us a Tis Bad Idea. You can send us a story or a guest idea. Jane Says is still up. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. But right now we are going to be talking about climate. We're going to be talking about getting out there and talking to the people. And we're going to be doing that with our next guest, Amanda Latham, who is a climate outreach specialist for Wisconsin State Climatology Office. And we welcome her to the show right now. Amanda, thank you so much for being here.
Having me, Greg. Happy to be here.
Wonderful. Now, according to all the wonderful research that Tucker does for us, it says you have a background in science communications, having worked as a broadcast meteorologist for 5 years, and you are also a graduate of UW-Madison. Go whatever your mascot is. I've never heard of them before, but I've heard they're a good school. You've been going around the state talking to people about climate, weather, going and educating and listening. Tell me about your job as a climate outreach specialist, and what do you do for that?
Yeah, so with the State Climatology Office in general, I like to say we're the climate version of the National Weather Service. So we're offering climate services to people in Wisconsin. We have tons and tons of records in our office going back to the 1800s. And with all those records, we look at trends in Wisconsin's weather and climate. And my job is to kind of translate that instead of just throwing data at people. I kind of put that in understandable terms for people that we're talking to. So I do a lot of presentations. We do a lot of work with school groups, getting them interested in climate and weather, writing lots of things for our website, putting recent events in historical context, like that big late November snow we just got in southern Wisconsin, talking about how extreme was that. And it was actually pretty extreme. So that's what my job entails.
Well, let me take a moment there and talk about that, because we mentioned it earlier, and I'm of a certain age. I'm somewhere between, 21 and older, where I remember winters being not extreme, but our normal winter was, snow from late October, November, all the way through March. And now, of course, for the past few years, it's been very mild in those last few months of the year and really hits us hard in January and February, along with, like, I call it bone cracking cold weather. What is the difference this year that we're seeing with just, I mean, we got what, 4 storms in the matter of like a month between November and December. What brings that on?
Yeah, so a lot of it has to do with the position of the jet stream, which is kind of the highway system for all of those winter weather storms. One big thing this year is that we're in a weak La Nina pattern. So we get way into detail with that, but we're looking at water temperatures near the Pacific Ocean. If those are extra cold, that puts us into that La Nina pattern. And then that has a ripple effect in circulations across the globe. And so that really impacts the position of the jet stream. And so with that, we typically can get a little extra snow in Wisconsin when those weak La Nina years.
Kelvin, I know she's professional because she used the term jet stream with confidence. That's how I know it's whenever I hear a meteorologist use jet stream, I'm like, oh, they know what they're talking about. Now, Amanda, you've been doing road shows and you've been taking them to the rural areas, one place specifically in Rhinelander. Can you tell me about like where this came about, how you came up with the idea, and what you seek to achieve with these trips out in Wisconsin? And is it specifically in rural areas with a purpose?
Yeah, so we wanted to start these road shows because we're looking at data all the time. And data can tell you a lot, but people can tell you more. The people experiencing those weather events can tell you a lot more about the impacts that they're feeling, how they're trying to prepare for those events. And it really gives us a better connection to that data. And so we wanted to get out specifically in rural Wisconsin, where people don't often get as much contact from bigger groups. We don't often hear as much from rural people in Wisconsin. And we just wanted to see, hey, what impacts are you seeing in extreme weather? Are you seeing changes in climate? How is that impacting you? And then after we're done with all these roadshow meetings, the people putting it together will all meet up and talk, okay, so what did we learn? Mm-hmm. Can we do some research from what we heard from people? Can we offer additional resources? Can we create more tools to help these people based on what we learned from these meetings?
And I think you just said the magic sentence, we listened to the people. Because I think a lot of times when you're right, the rural area, something we talk about in this show a lot is really how the rural areas of Wisconsin get left behind on a great many things. And weather in the rural areas for our farmers, I would say, I mean, look, I don't like blowing snow. I don't like driving it, but my crops don't rely on the weather either. And when you get people out there who are experts talking to people in your field who are experts talking to people who are literally in their field of expertise, I think that's important to listen to them so you can put together information that will help them in the long run. And what are there any sort of, you know, main themes you hear from these individuals going forth? And also, are they, I don't want to say incredulous or not, like, are they surprised to see you there?
We've only had the one meeting so far in Rhinelander, but mm-hmm. of course, we're based in Madison. So Rhinelander is very far away. I mm-hmm. think people were very pleasantly surprised that we made the trip in person to talk with them, because we very easily could have just done a virtual meeting. And so we got a great turnout of people, I think, just because they were so impressed that people from Madison were coming to talk to them and hear from them in person. So that was great. We've had a lot of people talking about flooding at that meeting, how that's been a huge issue in the recent decades. There was a big ice storm last spring that took out power in some places for almost a week, multiple days at least. So we heard a lot about that. The low snow winters, what that has been like up in northern Wisconsin, specifically the impacts on tourism as well.
Is there anything surprising you've heard from the people? Something that, you know, you didn't expect to hear as far as a question or a piece of information that made you all take some pause and go, oh, we weren't okay, we didn't even take that into consideration?
You know, I don't think so yet. One thing I guess was a little surprising to me, one of the questions we ask is, what is the biggest impact that weather and climate have had on your life? And a lot of people have started to just bring up their hobbies rather than their career, their farms, their mm-hmm. fields, that kind of things. So more of that personal connection of, oh yeah, I can't go cross-country skiing as much. So more of those hobby things that people have been bringing up, which has been really interesting.
And that's something we saw, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, time is a construct, Amanda. I believe it was the winter of 23, which also, by the way, just as a side note, every time I say something like that, I sound so old. The winter of 23. But the winter you remember the winter of 23, there was no winter. But that was the point of it all, was the fact that there was so little snow in the winter of 23, from 23 to 24, that there was funding that had to be secured by the governor and Senator Baldwin, because those businesses that rely on winter sports or winter activities suffered so hard that, you know, they needed help. And luckily there was help. And that leads me into my next question, is the information that you got from this road trip and from future road trips, along with what you do at the Wisconsin State Climatology Office, is it used to help provide information that can provide relief for those, whether it is farmers or business owners, saying, we're going through this thing, here is the data, we need to help them because, say, maybe next year is going to be worse, so we have to prepare. Is that something that can be done with this information?
Yeah, that's the goal, the mm-hmm. ultimate goal when we receive all this information from these roadshows. Again, whether we can create tools, one tool that we've already created with the National Weather Service is a more fine scale frost freeze risk. So rather than just, oh, your entire county is in a freeze warning, more looking at specific locations in that county, the probability of frost and freeze. And that helps people that work with cranberries, wild rice, just in the general fields. So creating some more of those fine scale, high definition tools to see if we can try to help with that. We're working on one with maple sap. We might create another one just based for wild rice, tools like that. And then also, can we do more education to help with preparedness? What are other areas doing that they could possibly adapt if the funding is there? So yeah, we'll see what comes out of this, but I'm hopeful that we can create some more tools and create more resources for these people in rural Wisconsin.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking to speaking with Amanda Latham, who is a climate outreach specialist for the Wisconsin State Climatology Office. And we're talking about the roadshow they did in Rhinelander, talking to the people in rural areas, getting both educating and getting educated and putting that information for good use to help the communities out there, especially in the rural areas who, as you stated, don't get these kinds of visits, don't get this kind of attention as much as they should. And I'm going to ask a question right now, and it is going to sound both basic, and I don't want it to sound snarky, but I want a good answer, and I would love for an expert to give it to me, because you just said it yourself. How does climate and weather affect people? And so often, weather is conflated with climate and vice versa when we're talking about things like climate change. I don't want to get political, and I won't, but when you want to have a good conversation, say at your holiday dinner table, and you want to talk about these really important issues, how would you, as a person who now stands in front of people and does education, how would you say to them, let me tell you the difference between climate and weather and why they're both important, but they're getting conflated for the wrong reasons?
Yes. The analogy I usually like to use is weather is your mood, climate is your personality. So your mood changes throughout the day, week to week, your mood is very, very different. And so weather changes day to day, hour to hour, week to week. Whereas climate, your personality, it's normal for that to change over time. You know, maybe you're not who you were 20 years ago, but it takes a longer time for your personality to change, just as climate takes a longer time to change. And your personality is more or less the accumulation of your moods. Similar that climate is the accumulation of the weather that a place typically sees. And so, for example, that winter storm we just got end of November, that's weather. We can't point directly to that and say, hey, that's climate change. If we start seeing more of these huge winter storms becoming more frequent in November, then we can start to think, oh, is there a climate tie to this? So when we're looking at climate, our office usually likes to look at least 30 years of data to get a good trend rather than just pointing to a couple specific events.
That's fantastic. I'm going to write that all down and say that directly to my Uncle Gary's face. All right. But I mean, it's again, like, it can get heated, no pun intended, but these are the things I like to talk about with people, and I want to make sure that I'm always conveying the right information. That's why I'm very thankful to have individuals like yourself, Amanda, on the show. And we're going to keep the conversation going, talking about the work that you do with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office. And I want to get to know you a little bit more as far as your background in meteorology and why you chose this, because I got a good story with one of my coworkers. I want to share it with you, but I want to know more about that. When we come back, don't go anywhere. If you have any questions for Amanda, please drop them in the text line. Drop them on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the site that we still in this house called Twitter. And you can always call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Since John and Gordy are on air all the time, we have guest hosts filling in for the John and Gordy Morning Show. Jamie and Eric Carreno talk about the wonderful and easy way to tip workers over the holidays.
That's 608-879-8255.
WMDX
Madison. Well,
the jazziest.
Where's my jazz hands here? Oh, boy.
Phone call solicitation I've ever heard.
Never forget that number. It is the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 WMDX. Good morning, Aaron and Jamie. It is so much fun to fill in on the show. Aaron Carreno, if you want to find me on social media. Jamie, I'm not going to give out your stuff because if you want to remain private. This is our last show for a while.
It is. You know, and it's not that I'm not on social media. I just don't post very often. I have nothing opposed to it. I used to do it a lot more. And then I don't know. Like, I got out of the habit.
So I am in management here at Civic Media, but I'm a talent first. Mm-hmm. I've spent my entire career on the air here in Madison for so many years under Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. If that name is familiar to people. And I do TV. I'm on TV. Yep. On Fox 47 from time to time. And I just have so much fun with it. But again, like you said, it's life gets busy. I forget to post a lot. And I know it drives my colleagues crazy over there. They're like, did you post?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Do you know when
I'm on my two emails right now. I didn't post this morning.
Do you know when I stopped? Is I used to have the morning. I used to do the morning show at the station in Baraboo, and then I left that gig, and that's when I was like, I don't need to do it as much.
So that's a really good point, because when I stopped, so at the pandemic, I was let go, as a lot of us were from our jobs, and then I just didn't care anymore. But now I've been posting more. I was at the Milwaukee Holiday Gala over the weekend, and I felt cute, and I did not delete.
You look dapper. Very dapper.
And I was like, maybe I should get on social media a little more often. Anyway, this isn't about us. This is about you.
It's always about us.
We're talking about the services you receive, partnerships, whatever that might be. How do you spread the holiday joy? The tipping guide, Reader's Digest, you're reading how much to tip for the holidays. A little extra this time of the year, never a bad idea. We've been getting some texts on the text line. If you have your Civic Media app, you can text us. How much do you tip different people? Have you received a really generous tip from somebody over the holidays? And Dom, over the break, you were saying you were a landscaper at one point?
I was, yes. It was during college. It was during the summers, sophomore and junior year. And I got a really, really nice tip. I was just a landscaper, so I would just mow lawns. And I got a $100 tip.
Nice.
And it was a random house. It was pretty nice. It took a while, but it was a great tip.
Well, let's reiterate. You were mowing the lawn in the summer, not this time.
Yes, not right now. But that was the summer. But yeah, it was a great tip. I loved it, and I'm still using it.
Were you like, do you need your lawn mowed again in 5 days?
That's kind of what it was. I was like, can I come back tomorrow and just keep mowing it there every single day and hopefully, you know,
best groomed lawn ever. I have to honestly say, I worked at the world's only Corn Palace, and we had some really unique individuals who came through. Nobody really tipped. What I got a lot was older gentlemen, literally, like everything you would stereotypically think of a tourist, right? The sandals, black socks up to their knees, the Hawaiian shirt. Now, mind you, this
Crocs and socks?
Oh, yeah, but this is late, right? This is late 90s, okay. Early 2000s, so equivalency. All I really ever got was, hey, do you got a young man in your life? Okay, dude, you're like 75. No. You know, I'm like 17 years old. I'm 18, 19. And they, you know, and then they'd be like, oh, I remember when my wife was this young. Okay, now it's getting weird. It's getting weird, sir. No more tours for you.
This time of the year when I go out for, you know, brunch, or if I go to the after, actually last Wednesday, I went to my local diner. Shout out to the Fair Oaks Diner.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt weird leaving because my bill was like $8. It's like, what do you tip 20% on $8? It's like, well, here's a dollar and some change. It's like a couple extra dollars are okay. It's the holidays.
Yes.
I think just a general rule of thumb is anywhere that you're at where somebody performs a service, just up it a little bit, and that is probably better than not doing anything at all.
Yes, absolutely agree. And, you know, it's funny because there was a period of time when my kids were watching the world and really unsure of how things were going. And they wanted to do something nice for people because we were at a period of time when they just felt people were really down. And so I remember one day, again, crafty stay-at-home mom, we got out our little pre-cut bookmarks and gave them their markers and their colors. And then we went and got little Hershey's Kisses and hugs and put glue dots all of them. And what they would do is when somebody performed something and did something for us really nice in a restaurant or in a store, or if we just noticed that there was a cashier having a really bad day, they would whip one of those out of my bag and hand them to them and be like, you know, in their little teeny tiny squeaky voices, thank you. And then they would move on. And the smiles that people got, it literally changed their entire demeanor if you could obviously tell that it had been a bad moment in time. And they were just so appreciative. And it wasn't a monetary tip. It was just the fact that we were recognizing somebody for doing their job. Like, that's all people really want.
And it really goes to show that it really isn't difficult to just do something nice. Be nice. Maybe you don't have some extra money this time of the year. That's okay too.
Yeah.
Do something nice for somebody, or hold the door, or smile, or say hi. Anything this time of the year is better than nothing. So
yeah, absolutely. Even a happy holidays is sometimes all people want to hear.
Wish we were like that year round.
Right.
Hey, in just a few minutes, we're going to be speaking with Scott Rippey of Rippeyology, your travel holiday forecast planning, maybe a little snarkiness. He's got it all for you. If you follow Rippeyology on social media, we're talking with Scott here in minutes. Good morning, Madison. Coming up on 7:30, it's the John and Gordy Show on 92.7 WMDX.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Mornings with Pat Krylo. Pat Krylo has a saying: those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. He brings up multiple examples of Republicans in Madison and Washington working to create a self-fulfilling prophecy of government being dysfunctional. Enjoy.
Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Krylo.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Tuesday morning, December 16th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network and all the other ways that you could get here. I got a question for you. Are you ready to be above freezing? Because it's finally going to happen for the first time in 3 weeks. The last time we were above 32, it was actually rather warm. We got to 46 on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And ever since then, we dropped below 32 at some point that night, and it's been really damn, it's just been damn cold here ever since sometimes. So we're getting back above freezing and getting warm again, pushing 40 in some spots. So keep it tuned to your local Civic Media station for your own local forecast along the way. Along the way, you can join us as well, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use the Civic Media app to call us, text us, leave a voice note. Never done it before? A limited time offer. There's only 4 of these shows left before we go away here. So we'd love to hear from you, get your feedback, and also, you know, any thoughts on the other things that you'd like in this morning slot from Civic Media or in my work at Up North News, where I'm going to be continuing things full time after this week. Coming up on the program today, Hans Breitenmoser will be along, our friend and dairy farmer from up in Lincoln County. He'll be joined by Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. And we're going to be talking about Christmas gifts, including the gift of rural experiences across Wisconsin. That's what the Agricultural Tourism Association is all about. So we'll tell you about some of the options that can be had there. Along the way, we'll also talk to Dan Schaefer, Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, a great newsletter you should be subscribing to. And Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom will be along. My colleague out in Washington, D.C. will be talking to us as well about what's happening there. And what's happening there over the past 24 hours is a case of, well, it's not what you would normally call it. People would call it Trump derangement syndrome. No, it's quite clear now. We've crossed the line. We're now into Trump is deranged syndrome. The president is not well. And we will get into that in just a little bit. A reminder that you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News by heading to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner there. Let's see. In the newsletter today, a little story about the Eagle River Ice Castle, a winter tradition across Wisconsin. And we'll bring in Parker Olson, our producer of this little shindig down in Madison Studio A2 for the other story I'm seeing here, that in a vote of fans nationwide, of football fans, the most popular, the most loved, I don't know if that's the right term for it, football announcing team in the NFL, who do people like best for their hometown announcers? It's Wayne and Larry. For the Green Bay Packers,
yeah,
that you can hear on some of these civic media stations. And Parker, that makes total sense.
It does. They're fantastic.
They're the best.
Yeah. I see no reason to listen to anyone else.
I actually became a Wayne Larrivee. I knew of him when he was doing play-by-play for the Chicago Bears. And I don't have his resume in front of me, but I think he did that for like 8 or 9 years, something like that. Okay. I didn't realize he was with a different NFL team before that. The Packers are actually the third NFL team in his long career of calling play-by-play, not just for football, but all kinds of other sports. Anyway, I heard him in the late 80s, early 90s, when we lived in Milwaukee while Sherry was going to med school. We'd sometimes, you know, hear a Bears game on WGN if the Packers weren't playing. And I thought, this guy's really good. And I was just thrilled when he came to the Packers. And you know, that was the start of a long career. He and Larry McCarron, The Rock, have been calling games for a good long time. And you totally see why in a national, an informal national survey. But it is very clear. We like our radio announcers. Alicia says, apparently Green Bay fans are also among the best looking.
I did see that. Yeah. I think WMDX had a story about that.
I don't even know why that was in doubt. I mean,
That's a fantastic point, Pat.
I mean, the Beach Boys originally said, I wish they all could be Wisconsin girls because, I mean, we've just got the best looking people in this. It's the corn, it's the dairy, it's the cheese, it's the beer. Yeah. It all comes together and makes us all rather handsome and attractive in our own ways.
It's true. So anyway, if you have enough beer, anyone will look great.
I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Maybe that's how the survey was taken at, you know, bar time when the beer goggles were on. Maybe. I don't know.
It could be.
I don't know. 6:12 coming up on the time right now. Remember my telling the story a couple weeks back about the furnace repair guy?
Oh, I remember.
And
yes.
And my concern that much like a check engine light that goes out just before you get to the dealership, that the furnace wouldn't be doing the thing, but he waited until it did the thing and then he fixed it.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say that it is still working. It's still working like a charm. But I mentioned it because yesterday I brought my vehicle into the mechanic because the check engine light had been on for a little over a week, you know, and it was really, really cold during that time. So I thought, well, maybe that's warming up or something like that. And I set the appointment. And as I get into the car to go down there, there's no check engine light.
No. Yeah.
Nope. And I thought, okay, fine. I'm going down anyway because I had two other minor issues. And that was fine. Got it all taken care of. They said, oh, it was what they call a vapor lock leak or something like that. Maybe if you don't turn your gas cap tight enough or something like that.
Oh, sure.
But my peeve is this.
Uh-oh.
They plug a little computer, you know, in to find out what your little car computer said the check engine light was.
Okay.
There are cars nowadays where they have indications for everything. Yeah. There's cars that'll tell you the PSI of each individual tire.
Yeah, I think my car has that. Yeah.
So to have just a generic check engine light and not have a way to see what the deal is it just strikes me as wrong now because have the ability. Again, you don't have to have it that detailed, but you should be able to have a few extra indicators to give you a rough idea of it. Because when you see check engine, you're like, this car is about to run off the road, like something out of the SNL's getting MacGruber and blow up. I don't know what's happening with this thing. Or it could be the gas cap wasn't on just quite right. So
yeah,
there's my new thing. Check engine lights that give you no other info. That's a dumb light.
That this is actually a pretty fair point, Pat. I was a little worried that this might be a little extreme of an idea from you. A little hyperbolic, perhaps, but no, I think this
me?
Is a, yeah, you. But
me?
I think
the guy, the guy that likened the new Coke controversy to the Second World War. I have no idea what you're talking about. Not
you said it.
I did say it. Yes, I did. Yep. All right. Well, I'm glad that I could get that story out of the way without too much hyperbole.
Yes, me too.
Because I guess I have been accused. Look, there are some people who are simply masters of hyperbole to the point where it is unbecoming. And we have that right now in some of the headlines as I'm looking across here. That I'll tell you about in just a sec. But Alicia says on YouTube, yeah, my truck tells me the PSI of each tire. We definitely need some message for the check engine light besides suddenly thinking the engine will blow up. And now Tony's making my point here. He says you can plug in a reader and it'll tell you a code which tells you what's wrong. Exactly. So if it can do that, then why should I have to plug a reader in it? Just have a little screen or a little something. Scott and Madison text us, welcome to the right to repair movement where big corporations hide everything behind computers that they don't allow you to fix. Amen, Scott. Amen. And this is something we've heard about a lot with farm equipment most recently, that, you know, farmers are used to doing all kinds of repairs on their machinery, tractors and other things. And it would not be that tough to say, buy what I'm speaking in very general terms here, but you should be able to buy one of these readers or whatever you want to call it and plug it in, you know, go pick it up yourself and plug it in. But oh, no. You got to pick up the specialty, you know, reader or piece of equipment from the manufacturer at their price. And I'm very happy to see ever so slowly a movement is building that makes sure that corporations can't do that to their customers and can't jerk them around. So I'd love to see more of that. So thanks for the comments. Keep those coming in. But as I was saying, there's just something wrong with the president of the United States right now. And I wasn't really thrilled with the New York Times headline because, again, they make it sound so clinical. This is an actual New York Times headline. Trump seizes on Rob Reiner's death to attack the Hollywood director. The president attributed the killing of Rob Reiner and his wife to Trump derangement syndrome. There was no indication that the couple's political beliefs were linked to their deaths. I mean, that's just so clinical. And I just can't imagine if one day Joe Biden posted something like that. And the actual headline in the New York Times would be something like, mental health experts weigh in on whether Biden should consider stepping down. And yet we're not hearing any of that from some of the larger circles out there, especially when asked later in the day if he stood by those online comments. Trump said, well, I wasn't a fan of his at all. He was a deranged person. I thought he was very bad for our country. Well, that's it, boys and girls. The president himself is a deranged man. He's also disgraced, twice impeached, a convicted felon, adjudicated to be liable for sexual abuse and on and on. And the question is raised, was he trying to be cute or clever? Was he thinking that this was on par with the criticisms of Charlie Kirk? Well, ask fellow Republicans and a growing number of them will tell you no, that was way over the line. Here's Trump's former lawyer, Jenna Ellis, who's now a conservative radio host, who posted, a man and his wife were murdered. This is not the appropriate response. The right uniformly condemned political and celebratory responses to Charlie Kirk's death. This is a horrible example from Trump and surprising considering the two attempts on his own life and should be condemned by everyone with any decency. Then there was Sage Steele, a former ESPN host and an ally of Trump, who posted online calling the president's post disappointing and said it's comments like this that take away from the countless great things Donald Trump does for America. Congressman Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky, put on social media, regardless of how you feel about Rob Reiner, this is inappropriate and disrespectful discourse about a man who was just brutally murdered. I guess my elected Republican colleagues, the VP and the White House staff, will just ignore it because they're afraid. I challenge anyone to defend it. Another one, Congressman Mike Lawler of New York, Republican. This statement is so wrong. Regardless of one's political views, no one should be subjected to violence, let alone at the hands of their own son. It is a horrible tragedy that should engender sympathy and compassion from everyone in our country, period. And coming back to what Congressman Massey said, he said, I guess my Republican colleagues will just ignore it. I challenge anyone to defend it. Well, needless to say, I trotted over to the social media posts for Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden just to see, because, again, if you recall, Derek Van Orden is all about getting people fired if they post anything that celebrates somebody else's death. So the question I can tell from going through, there were no sympathetic posts from Derek Van Orden that I saw. I saw lots of insults of other people, lots of name calling of other people. In other words, just a normal day for Derek Van Orden. I would hope maybe later today we finally see the post where he calls on people to have Trump fired for posting something celebratory in the wake of somebody who'd been brutally murdered. But I won't hold my breath. We'll have some more of the day's headlines coming up next. Live from the lake here in Chippewa Falls, I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Next up, we have Civic Media's own Terry Barr. Terry talks and listens to musician Tyler S.J. from the Appleton area, sharing his first original holiday music.
He's not a stranger to the music scene, but Tyler S.J. is new to releasing his own original holiday music. Here's more about the Appleton area man.
I've always kind of been interested in kind of contemporary Christmas music, and I've written songs kind of over the years. And then this year I was like, well, I'm going to put them all together and record them. I think three maybe were written this year, and then some are, one's like 17 years old. It's my own stuff.
Now here's Tyler S.J. as he plays live in the studio.
Beneath a single roof, you hear everybody move. Four kids and some cousins too in a little northern town. A church on Christmas Eve, why we gotta be the last to leave. Quick, someone read the manger scene so we can pass the gifts around. Scattered farther now, and isn't that the way? But I still miss you most on Christmas Day. When the kids pour down the stairs, it's when I hear you. And what I give for just one Christmas to be near you. Tell you all about the year, see you grinning ear to ear. Let you know just what it means, have you here. I never thought we'd ever find ourselves so far apart. A Merry Christmas. How's the weather where you are? How's the weather where you are? Must have been about 93. Snow must have been as tall as me. Four wide on the bumper beam, the Chevy tires churn. Town cop flipped the cherries on. Dad asked him what was wrong. He said, why don't I drive some so you can take a turn? I know those days are gone, and gone is where they'll stay. But I still miss my brothers most on Christmas Day. When the kids pour down the stairs, it's when I hear you. And what I give for just one Christmas to be near you. Tell you all about the year. See you grinning ear to ear. Let you know just what it means to have you here. I never thought we'd ever find ourselves so far apart. But Merry Christmas. How's the weather where you are? How's the weather?
Beautiful music. And it leads to conversation about Tyler's new album and another original song.
It's called A Little Piece. It's 8 original Christmas songs in one cover, and recorded at Rock Garden in Appleton. Got Kurt Gunn, Brad Berdini, Michael Grabner, Amanda James, Rick Spatchel Armstrong, all these local music heroes of mine. Everybody kind of like filled in their parts on a song. So I've been in the Christmas spirit since like middle of September. Well, I think Chill in the Air, it's kind of like a more like throwback style, has saxophone and kind of all that fun stuff. So this is like a consciously throwback song, where some of the others are a little bit more folky. But they've all done well. And the CD's been out for a little bit. Yeah, it's done really well. And like the response has been really great. And I'm just enjoying myself.
And that was music from Tyler S. J. He's based out of the Appleton area, and you just heard some of his first original holiday songs. He is just doing some terrific things. It's really fun to know, too, he only started playing guitar when he was 22 years old. If you'd like to see more, if you'd like to learn more or hear more, he has a whole bunch of shows coming up throughout Northeast and Central Wisconsin during the holidays, so you'll get to hear some of these songs. Go to his website. It's Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, .sj.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Terry Barr.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.